And today's podcast is brought to you in part by Petzl Torches.
Scott, all year we've been talking about Petzl being just an awesome torch, right? The unbelievable lighting qualities, the rechargeability, the reactive lighting, the way it broadcasts light for you right in front when you're looking down, and then you look forward and it just beams it out. We've talked about all that stuff, but you know what? We really mean it. I mean, this light is the best lamp, torch, etc. out there, and we're not just saying that because they're part of our community and team. Petzl makes a great headlamp.
I would be using it whether they were helping partner this podcast or not.
They're just good, and I can't tell you how much I have enjoyed recharging and having a fresh.
You enjoy plugging your lamp in?
Not that part. I enjoy turning it on and and knowing that I have 100% beam.
Yep.
Because I would
there's no guesswork.
I would, like Janet, my wife, said the other day, how come those batteries have tape wrapped around them? And I said that's because they're not worthy of the lamp at this point. They've gone out on several runs. They're still good batteries, but I just don't want them to put in my headlamp. So I have a number of kind of 50% batteries hanging around
some
the house.
Questionables.
Because I just don't like how that light all of a sudden fades on you, and then you're with limited light. And that's what I've enjoyed about this rechargeable. I'm like a millionaire. I'm pushing in and always with full batteries. I feel like a million-dollar man.
Okay. So go to Petzl.com, check out their torches, and become a million-dollar man.
Petzl.com.
Are we recording?
Dr. Romanoff, you're probably very experienced at professional interviews. This is not one of them.
Come on. Don't put yourself down.
we are very casual. That's a good word.
Ashley, were you expecting a professional podcast?
No, I wasn't. Apparently not. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
And it was a miserable, miserable day.
Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I'm Don Freeman.
I'm Scott War.
I'm Sally McRae.
I am Jimmy Dean Freeman.
And here we are at the first ever, drop bag call-in Trail Runner Nation show. Uh-oh. How's that for a name?
You know, I'm glad Amazing. You thought that through, Don.
I think we've got to rename the program. That one's just not gonna link well.
You know, so
is there a hashtag associated to that, Don?
Yeah, you know, it's 140 characters with a hashtag thrown in. Now, Scott and I were trying to.
It's 140 characters as an acronym.
Yeah, exactly.
Very funny, Jimmy. So here we have the four of us on the podcast, and Scott and I were talking a little bit before. How are we going to really position this? And we thought, you know, there's drop bags, and at the end of a race, race directors are just bombarded with stuff people leave.
Lost and found.
The lost and found. Hey, there you go, Jimmy. This is lost and found. This lost and found drop bag.
Hashtag lost and found drop bag.
But who's the lost and who's the found is the question here.
That shall be determined.
I've been lost for a long time, that's and very, Sally just found me, so here we are.
That's very philosophical, McRae.
You know, this is also a historic time for Trail Runner Nation. Are you guys aware of what just happened?
Yeah. No.
No.
In the history of Trail Runner Nation podcasts, this is the first TRN episode with the Sally McRae and myself at the same time.
The Jimmy Dean Freeman.
I always thought they were the same person.
Things are going to get crazy.
I thought we'd done this before.
Crazy.
The interwebs might not be able to handle this amount of energy, enthusiasm, and silliness at the same time.
My phone just caught on fire. Watch out.
Hey, just make sure you're not twerking and falling onto glass tables, Sally.
Is that a cross-training technique?
Yes, twerking is a very important cross-training technique here in L.A. If you haven't seen Sally twerk, you haven't lived.
Okay, so let's get to how we're doing this. This is one of our favorite podcasts is Drop Bag. It's our grab bag, which we've re-termed Drop Bag because we're trail runners. And this is going to be a little bit different because we posted out on Facebook and Twitter an invite to Trail Runner Nation members to ask a question. And so we're going to try something that's very highly technological And Don is over here. There's actually smoke coming out of his computer and his ears because we have he's been working feverishly trying to figure out how to do this. So we're going to call some Trail Runner Nation members. He's typing it in right now. And they are going to come on the show live, quote unquote, live, because this is a recorded podcast, but it's live as we're recording it, and ask their question to the group.
There's a chance that we'll just all hang up on everybody, or we'll actually get a call. This is going to be Raul Engel.
Raul Engel.
Oh, I love Raul. He's a great guy.
I'm afraid we might be going into an abyss we cannot recover Hello? From.
Hello, is this Raul?
Yes, it is.
Raul, you're the first.
Hey, Sally. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, so Raul, you asked a question. We read the question, and you're our first caller of all time on the call-in
historic.
Program.
Yeah. Historic.
So, Raul, awesome. what's your question?
Well, my question is for all of you, and it is, what's the top highlight for you this year, and what did you learn the most about yourself this year?
My top highlight is this show right now that we actually connected with you, Raul.
Actually pulled it off.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing better than that.
Hey, Don, don't start celebrating. We're still in the first mile of the race here.
And I feel I can do anything now that I've done this, maybe even a second call. So now that's mine. What's up, you guys?
You know what? I want to pose this to – let's have Jimmy go first, because Jimmy had an epic, epic year.
Yeah.
Amazing
so,
year.
Yeah. So what's your simple answer, Jimmy?
Wait, simple? Simple and Jimmy? Wait a minute.
We have a number of callers, Jimmy, so condensed version.
Let me give you my mildly complicated answer, and we can get into my more complicated answer later.
Twitter response, Jimmy. Twitter.
Also known as entirely.
My highlight of the year, athletically speaking, was getting to run about 35 miles of the Western States 100 with the Sally McRae.
Ah, nice.
Wow. Nice.
You know which side of the bread that's buttered.
Western States has been like the top of my bucket list for a long time. And achieving a silver buckle at States was something that had eluded me for the better part of a decade. And this particular year, not only did I cut 3 hours off of my former Western States time, but I got to help a few friends along the way and achieve some of their goals, and one of those friends was Sally. So
that is very
that
sweet. Very
Sally
sweet.
And I finished essentially together in the same minute, and we got to take a photo afterwards with our shiny silver buckles for both of us, the first silver buckle we ever got at States. Mm-hmm. And that honestly was one of the highlights of my year.
Aww.
How about you, Sally?
Really sweet. Well, gosh, I feel like an like a big meanie if I don't say the same.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Sally. You can be honest.
You can't. Let's make a rule. You cannot re-quote or reiterate an answer. So now you're covered, Sally.
I don't know what all this flattery is for. Jimmy, you had an incredible year finishing all those hundreds. I will say that it was such a joy running with you at Western States. You brought me a lot of laughter. And gosh, at one point when after we left Forest Hill, I feel like there was like eight of us all running together.
And
as the sun was starting
to
set.
It's really difficult to get Sally McRae to laugh. So I was executing some very challenging technical stuff.
It was good fun. But yeah, let's see. The highlight of my year. I mean, it would be Western States for sure. Everything that surrounded Western States. I feel like I've said this so many times, but just the thankfulness that I have for my crew. I mean, Ethan, Billy, Colin, David. It just blessed me so much, and it will be something that I'll never, ever, ever forget. That whole weekend was incredible, and it changed me a lot as an athlete. I feel like I've grown a lot from that experience, and it's something I'm looking forward to next year. So that was a huge highlight as far as running goes, you know. So what about you, Scott?
You know, mine is not a highlight of my own personal experience or running, I should say. And it was when Don and I, we were lucky enough to go out and witness the Hard Rock 100.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch Killian Jornet completely own that course. Yeah. And it was a tough, tough year. To see him do what he did, there's no question in my mind he's one of the best runners of all time. And I got to see him. It's like watching Michael Jordan play. I never got to see Michael Jordan play live. I got to see Killian run.
Nice. Hey, Raul, thank you for that question.
Yeah, thank you for letting me ask it.
You bet.
Thanks, Raul.
Thanks, Raul.
I'll hear from you.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.
Oh. That was a good one.
Oh man, I had the next one all loaded up, ready to go, and then now I need to redial it. So here we go. I'm dialing away. Maybe some editing is involved with this. Now this will either be a right number or someone's mother. This is Mike Farrington. So here comes the call.
Was Mike a Twitter?
You reckon?
Oh, there it is.
Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
You're caller number two on this
Trail Runner Nation. If you didn't recognize Don's voice, this is Trail Runner Nation.
Oh yeah, we forgot to say who we are.
How's it going?
I forgot to call.
Like they're sitting at home listening to this, and they're just like waiting on the fuck. Jesus.
Yeah. Sorry. Thanks. You know, it's a whole protocol thing. We're green at this.
What? One day, Don. Yeah. One day you'll have your own live radio station.
Mike, we are working the kinks out here on you. So
okay, good.
This is historic. You're number two in the lineup. So Mike, you responded to our Facebook post. What was your question?
Okay, my question is, I am doing my first 50K in January 10th, in 18 days, in January in Northern Illinois. Wow. So it's going to be cold. It's my first 50K. And my longest distance I've run so far has been 20 miles, and that was last weekend. I've only got two half marathons underneath my belt. What's some advice that you don't normally hear from everybody else? Everybody always says, don't try anything on race day, but nobody listens to that. What's the advice that is not often told?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I'll give you the advice that most people won't give you. Don't fucking do it.
Too late. I'm already signed up.
All right. I got to come up with some other. Well, here's the thing, man. You got to be careful with 50K. 50K is the bacon of the ultra running world, i.e., it's a gateway meat.
It's a gateway meat.
You
can
be a vegetarian and eat yourself some bacon, and next thing you know, you're having steaks and burgers. It's a opening to the world of endurance and a really amazing community. And the advice I would give you is to be really patient after this 50K and don't go crazy jumping in your distance and racing too often. The biggest mistake that I see made really frequently in this community is racing too often, too soon. And the thing that you love gets taken away because you're injured or, you knock your adrenal system down. You know, enjoy the experience, give yourself some recovery time, ramp up to each distance, you know, one at a time, get some experience and go where the inspiration is.
All right. Perfect.
How about you, Sally?
Well, oh my God.
Hey, Mike, thank you for calling in. I'll add to that really quickly. As far as your first race goes, I mean, so exciting, your first 50K. I'd say because it is going to be a new experience for you in its entirety, that'll be the first time you actually go that distance. Approach race day the same way you would your long run, just as far as you're going to go out there and enjoy it, the time on your feet. See it as an experience, a time where you can learn about yourself. So I would run the first 15, 20 miles very conservatively and then see what you have left for the last part of the race. Push yourself, because it is common, and you have heard the advice given that, you know, don't go out too hard. You know, everyone races out too fast, but really approach it as this is your time where you can bank up a lot of valuable information about yourself. You're going to learn how you respond to aid stations and eating that aid station food, and you know, just what it feels like for your body to be standing up and moving for those many miles. So Keep track and take notes. Write that stuff down as soon as you're done. And really just approach it with, I'm going to go out and I'm going to enjoy this experience. Don't put extra stress upon yourself outside of that, that you're going to finish and you're going to do it well. And good luck to you, Mike. Can't wait to hear about it.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, sure. Thanks, Mike. Mike, the other little bit of advice I would give you for your first one is don't take it too serious. Go out and find a friend.
Go have fun.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, good luck, Mike.
All right, thank you.
Good luck, Mike. Have a great race, man.
Send us a photo. Right, post a photo.
All right. Hey, so far, that's 2 for 2, right?
Yeah, good stuff.
All right.
Nice work, Don.
Hey, you don't even know the sweat I have going over. I have a heart rate monitor on right now.
I was going to say, I've seen him sweat more doing this than when he goes on a run.
I'm out of my heart rate zone. It's zone 4.
Who's this?
This is Chris. Chris?
Yeah.
This is Trail Runner Nation calling you. You know why, Jimmy? Jimmy, you know why I just call him? I've already talked to him on text. I've set it up. We're 2 minutes out. I feel like we almost have a relationship before the phone even rings.
Don. You are a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. So, hey, Chris, welcome to the podcast. And
Chris.
We're ready for your question.
Thanks. Thank you for all of your podcasts. It's been amazing. They've really helped me out a lot. The question I have for Jimmy Dean, and actually all of you, because you've done Western States before. I just got into Western States for the first time.
Woohoo!
And wow. Amazing.
Congrats.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part, Chris.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's all downhill.
And I've been trying for like 3 years, so I'm very excited. And so I want to ask, what was your favorite memory or piece of advice that you'd give for someone that's running Western States for the first time?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Favorite memory from Western States is running down the Cal Street in 2014 with my pacer Andy Pearson. We had this little saying that we'd go back and forth on, and you know the saying, "Don't count chickens before they've hatched." Well, he kept celebrating that we were going to break 24 and that we kept making up time on the sub 24 goal, and I would get really serious with him, and I'd say, we can't count chickens before we've hatched. And we said it so many times that we started saying, don't count your trail chickens. And so that just sort of became our slogan, don't count your trail chickens. And
all right,
every time I see Andy and we say that back and forth to each other, we have a good laugh. But advice would be, I got a bit of advice a few years ago from Scott Mills, the race director of the San Diego 100, and I think he's a 18 or 19 time finisher at Western States, and he's DNF'd it once, but all of his finishes are sub 24, and he's in his early 60s. So the guy is remarkable. Scott told me to both enjoy the enthusiasm and the energy of the event, and don't get caught up in it. So you want to soak up all the energy that people are throwing at you, all the energy of all the other runners, without allowing it to dictate your pace in that moment. So you can take the energy on, just don't let it supercharge your pace too early. You really don't want to start pushing until you get across that river at mile 78. So I saw in particular my pace this year versus 2009. I was about 30 minutes slower through the 30-mile mark, and I ended up being 3 hours faster overall. So patience is key on this course, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, Sally, how about your Twitter response?
And can I say something to Jimmy real quick? Congratulations on the coming baby.
Thanks, man.
Oh,
I'm really pumped. My wife is massive right now, and she's still like unbelievably.
See there.
That's exactly exactly what she wants to hear. You whisper in her ear,
yeah.
Jimmy. Hey, is you are massive.
Hey, Jimmy.
If you think my wife is phased by any of that, you don't know Kate Martini Freeman.
You know what, Jimmy? I'm going to edit that little clip out, and I'm going to have that probably at the intro of the show.
My wife will laugh at the clip, and the rest of the females in Trail Runner Nation have just begun hating me.
Sally, what's your quick answer to this one? Your best memory.
My best memory is probably leaving Forest Hill with Dave Daly, my first pacer, and how everything turned around at that point with him, and just everything that happened in that section was pretty incredible. Chris, good luck in your training. Man, I'm so excited for
you.
It is such an awesome adventure. Stay the course, and if you can, sign up for the weekend training that they have during Memorial Day weekend. Getting on the course is a very powerful way to prepare for a race.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for your amazing spirit and your laugh, and you're a great person to listen to.
Aw, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Hey, Merry Christmas, Chris.
Come up and say hi at Squaw Valley before the race, Chris. We'll give you some last minute tips that you might have forgotten this conversation by then.
I will look out for you guys.
Jimmy will probably have some last minute tips for you at the finish. All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Good luck and have some great training.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, so I want to know what your favorite memory. You've run the course twice.
Yeah, my favorite memory was seeing my pacer for the first time at Forest Hill, knowing that my plan to have something left for my pacer was working. And that was the first year. The second year, you think you get smarter, right? You think you would. Not the case. So here we go. We're adding.
Who are we going to now?
Appropriately, when you have drop bag and you put an image of a Victory Sports design bag, I mean,
who do you call?
Who do you call?
The man. Yes!
Ballesteros.
Yay! I love him. Yeah. He's such a sweetheart.
Hello.
Hey, Victor.
What's up, Victor?
Victor!
Hey, how's it going? how you guys doing?
So if for those of you who are going, what's going on? This is Victor Ballesteros. He is the owner, designer, guru, president, and CEO of Victory Sport Design, victorysportdesign.com, the awesomest drop bags ever produced.
Well, all these podcasts are really named after
the drop bag, the Victory Sport Design drop bag.
That's right. Yeah,
and I was so honored when I saw that you guys used our medium size the Cougar One in your post, and I said, "Well, look at that! Hey, sweet."
We were hoping that you weren't going to sue us for using it.
Oh no! Are you kidding me? That's like the greatest kind of advertising ever.
So you had a question. You actually weighed in on the Facebook comment line, and you ask your question, Victor.
The question was. For Jimmy Dean Freeman, what's in your drop bag, Jimmy?
Wow. That's changed a lot over the years, and I feel like it got a little bit more refined this past summer. But I look for a lot of troubleshooting items in my drop bag. I think my favorite element of my troubleshooting items is something that my wife put together, which she calls the emergency stomach repair kit. And in my emergency stomach repair kit, I've got basically everything that you might take to try to remedy, stomach or, gastrointestinal distress. So I've got, a Gas X pill. I've got a Tums. I've got, Zantac 150. I've got a ginger pill. I've got candied ginger chews. And
I thought you said candied ginger shoes.
Candied ginger shoes. Because my feet hurt, ginger fixes everything. And then a Pepto-Bismol pill. And when I get into an aid station, my stomach isn't feeling well. I go over to that drop bag, and I have two of the original Victory Sport bags.
That's right. Yeah, you were one of the early folks who jumped on board. I remember having a nice long conversation with you. And you were asking me many questions, making sure that is this something that I'm going to need? So I'm stoked that you found a lot of use with it.
Yeah, and since Victory started and we were in on a very early ordering process, my Victory bags are still they're not only being utilized for drop bags, we use them for.
Diaper bags.
Carry-on. It's an easy way to sort and organize things. But On the inside of my Victory drop bag, I've got the stomach repair kit. On the outside of my Victory sport bag, I put photos of runners that inspire me and moments in running that remind me that I can grind out a tough moment in a 100-miler.
Nice.
So Jimmy, when you grab that stomach repair kit, do you like do a cocktail and just down everything, or do you say time for a Pepto-Bismol? Are you experimenting, or just throw everything down?
I usually play it by gut instinct, pun intended. if I'm having gas pains, I throw down a gas X. If I'm having an upset stomach, I might do an antacid and a little bit of ginger. It just depends on how I'm feeling. And then I usually take that stomach repair kit with me. And as I'm out on the trail, if I come up on somebody who's throwing up or somebody who is complaining of some stomach issues, I usually, you know, I'm like Santa Claus with the stomach trouble.
Nice.
And to weigh in on that myself, I would also, to anyone listening and thinking, oh, this is like great advice, I would say one thing: don't drink soda after you take a Tums.
That's kind of like doing Coca-Cola and Pop Rocks.
Yeah. You know, I wish somebody would have told me that, you know, and I wouldn't have had to have learned the hard way. But, I mean, that's, I guess, sometimes how we figure things out.
Kind of like Mentos in a 2-liter bottle of soda.
I should have known better, but, you know, it's like it's in the middle of an event, and you're just like, oh, I got to figure out how to deal with, like, this turned stomach. You just sort of, sometimes you just don't think straight.
Sally, what do you have that's unique in your drop bag?
I don't really use drop bags that much.
If you had one of Victor's, you would.
It's because she has an entourage,
yeah,
Dawn.
That's right, an entourage. She has people, one thing in their hand.
She has people.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know what? I tried for a few seasons, I'd make these drop bags, and then I'd never get into them. I've kind of trained myself to really use the aid stations as best I can, just to save time. But in drop bags that I do use, I'll always I usually put in a blister pad. They're made by Johnson & Johnson. They are incredible. It's like second skin, and it will stay on your foot for like 7 days. Always have one of those in there. And then I usually have like some type of real food in there. So whether it's like a perfect food bar or and then I might have like a change of socks. But I keep it simple, really light and simple. And sorry, wasn't as fascinating, but
so
I
Don,
don't use drop bags often.
I want to ask Don, when you actually get your drop bags delivered to the right aid stations,
yeah,
or you actually thought through making a drop bag,
yeah,
what do you have in yours?
a Kleenex.
A Kleenex.
Something to cry on. Hey, Victor, thanks so much for all that you do for the sport and creating the world's best drop bag.
Yeah, we'll link your site, too.
Happy holidays, Victor.
You too, everybody. Thanks for letting me in on the conversation.
You bet. Talk
Appreciate
to you soon.
It.
Okay. Bye.
All right.
That's kind of cool to have a guy that can run like Victor on the podcast.
Kara is coming up next.
Oh, Kara.
I don't have a last name. Here she comes. Hey, this is pretty smooth. It's working out. I want to jinx it.
Way to jinx it, Don.
Yeah, I know. I just jinxed it. Yeah, see what happens.
If we get voicemail, I'm leaving voicemail.
Oh, good.
Hello.
This is Trail Runner Nation. Jimmy has taught me really how to start these calls. Kara, this is Trail Runner Nation, and we've responded to your Facebook post and would really like for you to contribute to the conversation and kind of weigh in on your question for the group here.
Sure.
What's your question?
What's up, Kara Clark?
Hello.
Hi, Kara.
Hi.
What? Oh, you guys see?
Is that your name, Kara? Kara Clark?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we're ready for your question.
I just want to know, in a 100-mile race, when you run out of water, do you ever resort to using your own urine?
Wait, are you serious?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Jimmy, go ahead with that.
Well, here's the thing. If it was a life or death situation, I'm not even sure that that's even common protocol anymore. I would say.
Was it ever common protocol, Jimmy? Look back at the old ultra running guides, the field handbook, if you will.
I mean, if you look at like survival guides, they're saying that like keeping all of the fluids in you that you can, you might resort to that. But in a 100-mile race, if I ran out of fluid, which I have many times, I start walking, and when people catch up to me, I beg and plead for a sip.
Yes.
So I try to utilize the people around me. I might not be above.
Is that a sip of their water or their urine?
It depends on the person, I think. I mean, really, it's a way to make a friend, I think.
Oh, my God. Quick, pee in my mouth.
Just think about the stories they'd tell. I would utilize the people around me, and in some races you might even come across a creek crossing, and you know, I'd scoop up some water for like an emergency situation. But no, I probably wouldn't drink my own urine.
Getting several diseases along the way.
Unless maybe I took a wrong turn and I was in the middle of nowhere and I thought it would save my life.
How about you, Sally? Do you have any anything to contribute to that?
I've never thought about drinking my own urine. However, I have resorted to exactly what Jimmy was saying several times, where I've stopped and asked people, hey, do you mind if I, you know, have a little bit of water? Or, you know, there have been a couple times I've asked for a salt tab. I did that, I think, twice even at Western States. So, yeah.
Karen,
I guess, would be a survival thing.
Karen, does that answer your question? Have you been confronted with this problem on a race yourself and found this as a solution?
Absolutely not. I've never had the issue, but I wanted to go into my next race with parents.
Awesome. I love it.
Now, is it possible that you guys know each other? Do you know Kara Clark, Jimmy? You seem to...
Kara Clark is one of my favorite athletes. She's a SoCal Coyote.
How did you know? That was a planted call, Jimmy. How did you...
It's a 310 number, and I recognize that voice. I see Kara twice a week.
Kara, you said you had a disguised voice of all disguised voices.
Well, I start with my speech impediment, but clearly that didn't work.
All right. Well, you know, we get A for effort, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Charlie.
We were trying to throw a curveball, and it didn't work.
Yeah, I stepped in the pocket and hit that curveball over the fence. Thanks.
Yeah, you did.
All right. Thanks, Kara.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. See ya.
Who we got next? Freeman.
You know, that was pretty impressive that you two both knew. I mean, just, I thought they maybe their number came up on Skype or something. It's like,
listen, Don, if you're gonna like confuse me, don't use their first name.
I thought about that. Actually, as you said, I went,
ooh. Gina now.
Well, I thought she was gonna do such a job on you guys that I wanted to at least give a little bit of a hint. That's okay. All right. Here's next up is. This is Brian Mulholland, and he's going to share with us his question. You know what? I jinxed myself, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
That's what happens.
I didn't even know busy signals even existed.
I was just going to say the same thing. Is that a landline then? Because I don't even have a landline in years.
I figured everything rolled into some sort of voicemail.
Okay.
We're going to try again.
I'm trying right now. This is the tech team is on it.
You guys, I do want while Don is troubleshooting this semi-revise one of my answers.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
So,
already feeling bad about
this. Is this the urine one?
My favorite moment is my favorite moment unless my baby is born this year.
Yeah. Well, that goes without saying. You got it.
You trying to make up for the my wife is massive comment?
I think it was my wife is huge. I think that's what it was. Hey, Brian, welcome to Trail Runner Nation podcast. As we just tried to call you and had a busy signal, so I was sweating it out a bit. I hope there's someone on the end of this line.
I'm on the end of the line, Don. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely,
yeah, Brian.
So you have a question for the panel here. Roll away.
Yeah, I was wondering, after running an ultra, does anybody else feel like they could eat an entire elephant the next day?
Elephant eating, yeah. Hey, Sally, why don't you start with that?
Yeah.
I've seen you eat.
You know what? The right after the race, I have a terrible appetite. It's funny. I'll see food. I'm like, oh, man, it looks so good. I go to eat it, and I get two bites in, and I don't want it at all. But the following day, oh, man, I want pancakes so bad. I could eat pancakes all day the day after a race. So, yes, my appetite is huge. What about you, Jimmy?
I don't have to run an ultra to have a huge appetite. I'm darn near 190 pounds and continuing to trend upward.
What did you race at, Jimmy? What did you race at in the middle of your 600 challenge that you ran this year?
I think Old Dominion, I was 184. And by the time we made it to Wasatch in September, I was 178.
Wow.
So I trended about 10 pounds up in the 8 weeks off. And then I started running regularly again and dropped down another 4 or 5. But I've actually been putting on some muscle mass recently. I've been doing a lot of strength training. So I'm up to like 190.
You calling that muscle, Jimmy?
Yeah. I've been training like a possessed madman lately. I think I put in about 15 hours last week.
Nice.
But no, I'm hungry in general. And how hungry I am after an ultra distance race depends on a very interesting factor. The more I stay consistent with my calories and on top of my fluid and electrolyte balance, immediately after, I'll be starving. But if I get off on my calories or get off on my electrolytes, get a little bit dehydrated, I finish feeling nauseous. And I kind of have to wait till my body sort of normalizes again on its own before I get really hungry. So I've had both experiences. I've been starving immediately after. We've gone right to In-N-Out Burger or a nice steakhouse smelling god-awful. Or I've been not hungry at all and barely able to get anything down because my osmolarity was all thrown off by not regulating properly.
What about you, Don?
Oh, you know, I think that might be one of my favorite things about post-race is just guilt-free calorie consumption. You know, I mean, everything tastes so good, and what is already good becomes even better.
Is there something that you crave? Or does it vary?
Whatever's in front of me. I mean, I love...
Doesn't matter. It's about volume.
I love post-race soup. That is so good.
So just good.
Yeah, and I imagine... I want to try some post-race soup when it's not post-race. You know, if I was at a... You could serve it to me at a restaurant when I expect the best, when I'm dressed up a bit and my shoes are clean, and I would taste that soup and I'd probably say, what in the heck? But I tell you, post-race, it's yum good. How about you, Scott?
You know, I have a tough time eating after an ultra. So I would say I'm probably, it takes me a couple days before I get my appetite back, especially right after. I cannot eat anything after an ultra.
How about you, Brian? You raised the question, what do you experience post-race?
Yeah, mine's on the gamut. I think Jimmy's answer was pretty interesting because I've definitely had races where I felt good at the end of them and I'd be able to eat right away. But normally I go on the Scott and Sally side of things where I'll look at something, it'll taste delicious, I'll have a couple bites. But I can't go. But then the week after, not the whole week, but the first couple of days after an ultra, I feel like if something's in eyesight, I'm in trouble.
and now, here's the problem with that whole program, Brian, because I've lived through it. You can eat and get away with it. You can put in, you know, X number of calories and not even budge that needle on the scale. But then all of a sudden, you get like a free, I don't know how many days you get free. Is it 3 days or a week?
We need a doctor to do a study.
But then there comes a point where whatever you eat doubles in caloric intake and effect.
Brian, you know we call that a seafood diet. You seafood, you eat it.
Seafood, eat it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Brian. We appreciate you pitching in and being part of the podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah. Happy holidays.
All right. You know, we have our final one right now. I know that, Sal, you have a hard stop. You have something right in front of you. Do you need to get to that, or you can hang for one more?
Oh, no, I can hang for one more. I was going back on, I thought earlier in the text someone said there was a hard stop, so I was confirming it, just asking about it.
Nope, okay. Just want to make sure we didn't leave somebody standing for you. This is Kathy. And it's kind of along the same thing. Kathy, if she doesn't answer, I'm gonna use my best Kathy voice and give you her question. Kathy
Nevitz. Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
So, Scott,
wow, that's a pretty good record.
Jimmy, give the leave the
available. The voicemail.
Hi, Kathy. This is Jimmy Dean Freeman calling you from the Trail Runner Nation podcast. We're sorry to miss you. Hope you're having a fantastic Monday. We will get to your question online, so check it out later. Hope you're having a great holiday week, and Merry Christmas.
So here's our question. Let's go ahead and just leave a very long message.
Did you hang up, or we're still connected?
We're still connected. I want her to be part of it, right?
Okay.
And she might all of a sudden pick up. She asked a great question. She says, what do you do immediately after a race to help with your recovery? And I think that's good, because taking care of yourself post-race is important. So what do you guys do?
Sally, jump in on this one.
What do I do post-race to take care of myself?
For recovery.
Yes, for recovery.
Yeah, well, I think immediately upon finishing your race, I start I start drinking my recovery drink. I make sure that I eat and drink properly. I think that's huge. And then like the next day, I make sure that I move around. I don't typically just lay around the day after a race. I think it's important to get things moving in your body. And then usually a few days after that, I try and get a massage. I'm a big believer in active recovery. So eating really light, gentle exercise. And then I also get extra sleep.
What's in
Go ahead.
What's in your recovery drink?
My recovery drink is actually CarboPro. It's called Interphase, and it's just all natural product, all natural ingredients. There's a lot of protein in it, and I'll drink a lot of green smoothies. I'm a big smoothie drinker, and so that whole week I usually take off from like any running workouts in their entirety. And I just take care of my body, making sure that it's on the mend. It's got, I'm getting good rest.
For recording your message.
I forgot we were still talking on her voicemail.
Press 1 to listen to your message.
Do you want to listen to the message, guys? I just want to go for it.
No.
That was so great. What about you, Jimmy? What do you do for recovery?
Well, I depends on what I remember to bring with me. But the most important thing immediately is to get something in.
Mm-hmm.
Liquids and calories, with an emphasis on some carbohydrates and sugars to sort of restock the glycogen, and some protein for muscle repair. Not all products are created equal, but it's better to have something that's lower quality than nothing.
Right.
You've got 30 to 45 minutes where your uptake is elevated and your body will absorb things a little bit quicker.
The golden window.
Yeah, that window. So, if I have a Coke available and a spoonful of peanut butter, I'll take what I got. And if I don't, or if I have better things available, I might do a recovery type drink. Mm-hmm. This past summer, I was using an Herbalife 24 product, and it had some amino acids in it, and like a very specific carbohydrate to protein ratio for, quick uptake, and trying to get like 300 to 500 calories quickly. And then within an hour to 90 minutes, I try to get a meal, and, it might be a little higher in protein, but I usually go for something delicious. So like a hamburger and French fries and a milkshake would be a pretty typical post-race fare for me. Maybe even a nice IPA. Although I wouldn't recommend that on the recovery side.
How about you, Don?
I fluid for one, because you've lost some fluid just naturally. So putting that in, I think, is important. And I have found you know, Monsters of Massage. They're a
That's
group.
That's what I was going to say.
Were you? Yep. Well, then this is both of ours. We'll it's the giving time, Scott. Let's give one another permission to have the same thing. And this Monsters of Massage, they come out with their magic hand people, and they stretch and they move through the muscles and it's really helped with the recovery and the soreness and the stiffness.
Sometimes that's more painful than the actual race, but it pays.
You know, after the race, when I have done it, I'm able to look like I haven't run as far, and it feels much better, and the next day is better, and I can run sooner. And that's the question I have for you guys. After a long race, when, and I know it all depends on the race, but typically, what is your goal for getting back out there and getting some shakeout miles in, some easy run? How long do you have to wait?
Depends on the distance.
Yeah.
So he already gave you that caveat, Jimmy. You can't repeat it. So
typically, in a 50-mile race, Jimmy, what do you like to, in the spring, how long do you like to wait?
50-mile race is probably a couple of days. Okay. I might run, if the race is on Saturday, I might run on Monday or Tuesday, but I will sort of feel how I'm feeling when I'm walking around to gauge when it's the appropriate time to run again.
Sally, 50-mile race?
You know what? I used to roll right back into training like a day or two later, but this past year I've changed my training, and I think both just for the mental aspect too, I usually wait almost a week before I even allow myself to run again. So I do a lot of pool running. And I cross train. I do all different types of activities to like move around, but I won't really start running again for like a week
In that pool running, do you have to be running pretty fast to stay on top, or are you in the water?
You know what is so great? They have these aqua jogging belts. It looks like a floaty that you put around your waist. And every summer I'll go down to the pool when it's totally crowded with the kids, and I get in there and I do my pool running. You can't touch you're not supposed to touch the ground. I do it effectively and efficiently. Sure. But all my kids' friends, they'll come up alongside and whisper, like, "That's so sad. Your mom can't swim. Like, she's wearing a floaty." But no, you wear this floaty, and you're going pretty slow, but it's a great way to keep up. You can maintain complete running fitness by pool running. You can also increase your VO2 max doing it. I'm a huge believer in it. Highly recommend it. So, you know, I think it's good, especially in ultra running, that we allow ourselves a little bit of break, because we don't really have an off season in this sport. And I've kind of learned that. So the week after a race, I've just disciplined myself to do other types of active recovery. It gets me excited to get back to training again.
So compare and contrast the two, Sally. You've gone out there after a couple of days and run, and now you've decided to lay off for a week and do some supplemental type training, like the pool training. How better is that the way to go? You would never go back to the old way, or just give us some of your experience and wisdom on this.
I think it just as true it is to just training schedules in general. It is case by case. Personally, I love running. I don't think I've had a season yet where, you know, I actually hate the sport, or I feel like it's a, you know, I have to do it. I love it. And so the day after a race, I do want to go and run. And so, you know, but I think as far as wanting to be a strong athlete, and I want to be in this sport for a long time, I've found that it is better for my recovery that I listen to my body and I give it a break. And I have that week where I'm just really gentle in other activities and nourishing it and allowing it to rest. I'm not going to lose fitness by not running for 7 days, especially if I have active recovery. And I think that I'll continue to do that.
And Jimmy, you learned a lot this year with stringing 600 miles distances in a row of laying off. And not
You're incredible,
fitness.
Jimmy. Do you know that? How incredible you are? You're superhuman.
Yeah, incredibly masochistic is what I am.
So a stellar year. A stellar year for you, Jimmy, on
incredibly poorly advised.
My routine
was pretty consistent after 100.
Sally, you as well as a top 10 finisher in Western States this year and earning your ticket back to 2015. That's going to be exciting. Jimmy, you have a baby on the way. What Do you know, boy, girl, do you know, or is this going to be a mystery?
We have left it to mystery.
Good. Well,
I'm not even positive the thing is human.
Well, if it, you know, well, thanks to Kate, it will be. And Jimmy, if you're looking for a name, Dawn is both, Kim, go both ways with both either gender. So I just want you to feel just you can have it if you need it.
If you need a performance enhancing cocapelli to put on its belly as soon as it comes into the world, we can help you out. We can send you a black one and an ultra pink one, just in case.
Yeah, you're standing there at the ready. And Sally, for you coming up, you have an exciting announcement that's happening around Christmas. Maybe you can share with us what that is.
Maybe we'll put a performance enhancing cocapelli.
That was the dump button.
Because I heard a little bit more than you did. Something about up your, I don't know.
Yeah, Christmas Day. I'm starting my first show will launch called Yellow, the Sally McRae Show. And it's just filled with a lot of it is just in response to the frequently asked questions that I get on a daily basis, whether it's through Facebook, Twitter, through my website. And it, as much as I wish I could answer every single one, but this will kind of allow me to address all those. But also, it'll be filled with, you know, nutritional tips and recipes. I'll be demonstrating some of the very important exercises I think runners should be doing. And then there's some other fun little things that we have planned. But it is constantly evolving. I am not a filmmaker by any means. This isn't a Billy Yang film type quality thing, but it's just a fun way for me to continue to connect and just allow me to offer some good coaching advice and training advice and how to balance running and family and all that good stuff. So Christmas Day, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
We go onto your website at sallymcrae.com and we can link up. Is that how we get there?
Yeah, you can get there. It'll be streaming through my YouTube channel, so you can see it there. But it'll also be on my website as well. So yeah,
all right.
Thank you.
What's your YouTube channel handle?
You can just type in Sally McRae and it'll pop up. Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, thanks. You know, thanks. We would like to thank both of you and all the guests today for making this the first annual. And I'm gonna say we podiumed today. We were on the podium. I'm not gonna say what position on the podium. But we were definitely standing proud.
Maybe we should ask the listeners to weigh in the comments to see if we should do this again.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
I thought it was fun.
It was super fun. Now, did Jimmy just fall off? Did he get disconnected?
When we dump somebody, we dump them hard.
He may be his wife may be in labor right now. So
wife overheard that comment he said at the beginning.
Yeah, he's getting whipped.
You guys are overreacting to Kate's reaction.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Sally.
Trail Runner Nation, go to trailrunnernation.com. We're revamping that website, but it's not ready yet, but we're working hard. Scott has his HTML wrenches out, and he's turning
I have nothing out. This is on our ninja, Tim.
Web ninja putting it together. Go to sallymcrae.com, check out her stuff. Go to SoCal Coyotes. Jimmy, what's your landing spot for all the people down there?
I don't know.
So go there, meet up on the trailhead, and enjoy your family. Enjoy the trail.
And more important than anything,
what's more important than anything, Scott?
Run.
Moss.
Yes.